Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Follow Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. Thanks, Roger Badish.
And you're very welcome.
And we have Lisa Wolf back here.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, right?
Hey, yeah, a little round of applause.
Well, one evening does not a week make.
Yeah, you know, without you here, though, Lisa, we get a lot of flack, don't we, Mike?
We
got
sure
so
do.
Much flack.
Well, people were
listeners.
Saying that you were ripping me last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, no, yeah. All in fun.
Luckily, I missed all of that. I was fast
in
asleep.
Fun.
Are you sure you weren't drunk doing the sorority thing? And
she was reliving
yeah, I was
her youth.
Pretending to be 17 again, which is nice. Which is very
Lisa
nice.
Lisa Wolf is back.
I'm here, and all I'm
right.
glad to be here.
And this is program 168. In the WGN Radio Theater series. Today is April 2nd, 2017, and we're rocking and rolling, Lisa.
Yeah,
Mike Estella's here.
Hello.
And we are going to play some classic radio shows. What do you think of that idea?
That's what we generally
it's pretty good,
do.
Right?
Yeah.
Jack Benny from 1944, Broadway Is My Beat, and then Dimension X. That's the lineup. We have a comedy, detective, and sci-fi, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming comedy Lady Bird about the adventures of a young woman living in Northern California for 1 year.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. And yeah. the winner will get a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played Jackie on the TV series Roseanne.
Becky's got something really important she wants to talk to you about, and she'd like for you to be really sensitive.
All right. Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
And we are back with the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Becky's got something really important she wants to talk to you about, and she'd like for you to be really sensitive.
We've got Paula on the line from Lakeview. Paula, how are you?
Oh, how are you?
It's great to hear from you.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Who is that famous actress?
Laurie Metcalf.
Paula, you are right. It is Laurie Metcalf. I had the opportunity to interview her twice, so I had a wonderful oh. time speaking with her. And Paula, you have won a $25
well,
gift
I watched her on Roseanne.
I
like
did too.
50 times.
Same here. So we're sort of like,
yeah.
so
Hi,
we're
Paula.
Almost like the same. We know Paula. She is one of our favorite regular listeners, and we're so glad that you won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite pizza. You can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can also order online at loumalnatis.com. Paula, it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you. I really keep enjoying it.
Thanks, Paula.
Thank you, Paula. Take care. Feel good.
Thank you.
All right. Tom Hush is behind the controls tonight on the show. Tom is our producer tonight. He is pinch hitting for Shantae Garth. We just have a lot of producers, you know, because it's tough to deal with us. That's why, Lisa.
With us or with
yeah.
you?
No, with you. Well, you come in here, start barking orders.
It is torture.
Right?
With
right,
me
Tom?
Or with him?
She came in, hey, log me on. Where's my coffee?
I'm already logged in, and I don't
she
drink
tastes
coffee.
The coffee.
He's
She's like,
got
there's
a vivid
not enough
imagination.
Sugar
the thing with
coffee.
The sign really got me.
Yeah. Oh,
but now you have a sign.
We actually have a sign. Yeah, she's like, this coffee doesn't have enough, you know, sweetener in it.
You know, that's from the past. We keep bringing it up. We have moved. We're going to have to move beyond that in our relationship and just move forward with this.
I can try.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So this is our 168th program, Lisa. And let's talk to our listeners about our two-year anniversary event.
I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, it is a meet and greet. It's called the WGN Radio Theater Ping Pong Meet and Greet at Spin Chicago.
You got it.
Do
that
I have
is
it
the
off
entire
the top
name.
Of my head?
And
I
what is
it.
The date of this event, Carl?
It's April 23rd.
Exactly.
And
the
it's
time?
From 6 p.m. till 9 p.m.
That's
at
exactly
Spin
right.
Chicago, which is 344
North State Street.
North State, 344 North
so
State.
So we're going to have a party, basically, and yeah. everybody is invited.
Wait, hang on a second. Free hors d'oeuvres.
Did I not finish my sentence?
Free food, folks.
Do you just want to do this yourself? Go
no,
ahead.
You go ahead. No.
But I was trying.
Go ahead.
So you are all invited. We are so excited to meet and greet our listeners and your listeners' friends and their friends and their friends. We are going to serve appetizers and we're going to play ping pong and just sort of hang out and chill out and watch Carl.
What? I'm going to beat some people at ping pong.
Dote on himself while he plays ping pong.
You know what? I challenge my listeners. Come on out. Play me at ping pong.
And even if you can't play ping pong, come and have some pizza.
Yeah.
I specifically asked for pizza for one of our appetizers
because
I'm sort of a fan of
free
pizza.
Food, folks.
But most importantly, we want to meet you and talk to you and hang out with you, and that's just the point of this.
Yeah, and then we're going to go from there, come over here, and do the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
So write it down, April 23rd, 6 to 9, but we will talk about it again, and we will post something on our Facebook this week so you'll have a reminder.
And we will have a picture that we'll autograph and hand it out if you really want one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you know, watch, we'll have like a stack of them and no
one
will ask
what?
For them.
We'll have it, but they can cut it right down the middle and
right.
they can decide if they'd rather have you or they'd rather
X you
have
out.
Me.
They'll X you out.
No, they'll cut you right out of the photo.
Put some paint right over you.
I'm okay with that. Just don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah, Mike, you know, we're going to come there with a huge stack of these and no one's going to want any.
I'm sure somebody will want
we'll have
Mike,
our,
Mike wants
our
one.
Special,
I'll take them all.
You know, those like silver pens that you can write on the.
Are you going to spring for the silver? Silver ones,
we won't,
Carl?
Yeah, I'll spring.
Wow.
We won't even,
big
no
spender.
One will ask for that.
I mean, winter is pretty much done, so we can use it for our last time of having a fireplace, right?
Yeah.
Starting the fire.
Burn those pictures.
Throw them right in there.
Well, this will be a lot of fun. Right, we will continue to remind you
Make sure you,
guys.
You come, folks. It's our two-year anniversary. It's April 23rd.
Which is a Sunday.
Spin. It's a Sunday, 6 to 9 p.m. Spin Chicago 344 North State. We hope to see you there. We'll remind you next week as well. All right, it's time now for the Jack Benny program. Was there a better comedy show on radio,
there
Lisa?
Was not.
Or early television? I
not.
Don't think so. And Jack Benny, one of the most beloved comedians of all time. Everyone, he liked this persona that he was, he'd like people to believe that he was cheap and vain and all this. He was really exactly the opposite. Everyone says, you know, George Burns, when I used to hang with George Burns, he told me Jack Benny was the most generous guy you ever want to meet. He was exactly opposite of his persona, but it worked. And he said he never was older than 39, had all of these great little gimmicks. And he was married to Mary Livingston, who was not, he did not play a married guy on the radio show. He was like dating Mary Livingston once in a while. Phil Harris, Eddie Rochester, Anderson, Dennis Day were his rotating cast of friends and characters. And it made a transition in 1950 to television, lasted 15 years on TV. His radio show lasted from 1932 until 1955, so 23 years on radio. Very popular show. This is a broadcast from January 30th, 1944. And at this time, Jack was about to film the movie The Horn Blows at Midnight. And they're talking about deleting a big love scene. So he goes over to the studio and complains about it. Let's tune this in, sponsored by Grape Nuts Flakes. I always thought it was weird. You open up a Grape Nuts and there's no grapes and there's no nuts in there. Why do they call it grape nuts?
Grape nuts flakes.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
There's flakes.
Just a little very odd. All right, let's tune this in. Part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Grape Nuts and Grape Nuts Flakes program. Ladies and gentlemen, in starting off a comedy show, it is customary for the announcer to say something humorous. But tonight I can't think of anything funny, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, did you make up that clever introduction all by yourself?
Yes, Jack, I certainly did.
You mean nobody even helped you with it?
No, not a soul.
You mean you hatched up that witty gem in your very own little fat head? Huh?
But, Jack, I thought you said it was clever.
Oh, it was, Don, but something happened to it when it came out of your big fat mouth. That's
oh,
all.
Jack, you're sore about it.
No, Don, really I'm not. Believe me, I'm not sore at all. I'm very happy that you're my announcer. Really, I am.
But, Jack, if you're not angry, why are you tearing up my contract?
I'm not tearing up your contract because I'm angry, Don. I'm just making a paper doll that I can call my own.
Hey, Jackson, look. Now, why are you getting all steamed up? You get sore and excited and lose your temper just because Don makes a clever widow kiss him.
Phil, the word is witticism. Anyway, I'm not sore and I'm not excited and I'm not losing my temper.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Mary.
Are you going to shave?
Of course not. Why?
It's a shame to let all that foam around your mouth go to waste.
I've got a right to be mad. When Don introduced me, he inferred that I wasn't funny.
Well, that's no military secret, Jackson.
Wait a minute, let me ask you something, and this goes for the three of you. If I'm not funny, how come I've stayed in radio 12 years? Well, answer me. There must be some reason. Well?
I know why I'm on the air, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, you're a dope.
That's it.
It certainly is.
Well, it's worth it. You told me yourself you're paying me $186,000 a week.
Dennis, Mr. Benny's only paying you $35. But because your song just runs 2 minutes, it's equivalent to $186,000 a week.
Who cares about details as long as I get the dough?
Well, I'll be.
Dennis, when you get your check, what does it say on it? $186,000 or $35?
$35.
There you are. What does that mean to you?
Large withholding tax.
Thanks, kid. You had me worried there for a minute. Anyway, how do we get to talking about your salary? This all started with Don's introduction saying I wasn't funny.
Well, all I know is that last week, Fred Allen said, quote, Jack Benny has done more for sleep than Sanka coffee.
Look, Don, the next time you mention my name in the same breath with Allen's, please use Sensen. Quote, double strength, unquote.
Oh, Jackson, I think you're jealous of Allen. I heard him last week and he was terrific.
Phil, do you listen to Fred Allen's program?
Well, sure I do.
Oh, you do, huh?
Well, you don't mind, do you?
No. Why should I mind? I don't care at all. If you want to listen to Allen, it's certainly your privilege.
Hey, wait a minute, Jackson. What are you doing with my contract?
You know that paper doll I made before?
Yeah?
Well, I'm fixing her up with a boyfriend. Let's drop whatever we were talking about, including Allen.
Well, you certainly are a hypocrite, Jack. When I came over to your house last week, Allen's program was tuned in on your radio.
Well, that was a mistake. Rochester tuned it in while I was in the next room.
Well, you could have walked in and turned it off.
I would have, but I thought it was my camel I was smelling. Let's change the subject. Dennis?
Yes, please?
Yes, please. You've got a song ready. Let's have it.
Okay. He hates me because I'm making $186,000 a week.
Dennis, if I hated you, would I be paying you that much? Now go ahead and sing, will you, kid?
Canción.
of love. Pale moon is casting shadows from above. Fine Sienna, somehow I feel the jungle deep. Within me, there grows a rhythmic savage beat. Love is everywhere, its magic perfume fills the air. To and fro you sway, my heart in time, I've learned to care.
Poinciana, sung by Dennis Day and accompanied by Phil Harris. All right, Don. Dennis Day and Phil Harris.
Oh, Jack, not this season. Please.
Don, I wrote this commercial myself, and I want you to do it. It's clever. Now, go ahead. Dennis Day and Phil Harris.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to bed at night, it's dark. But when you wake up in the morning and see the sun streaming through your window, then it's day, and it's time to eat your grape nut plate.
There you are. Now do the part that isn't clever, but educational.
Okay. Grape nuts flakes are toasty brown, sweet as a nut, and have that malty, rich flavor.
Good. Now go back to the clever part. Phil Harris.
Oh, darn it. So remember, folks, if you're hungry and want your fill, Harris, nothing better than Grape Nuts Flakes in the big 12-ounce economy-sized package. I thank you and forgive me.
You see, Don, those are the kind of commercials that people remember. Now, wasn't that a clever idea, Mary?
Well, if you want to know the truth, I thought it was the...
Phil, what did you think of it?
Well, as long as you're asking for it, I thought it was...
Dennis... did you like it?
Oh, yes, Mr. Benny. I thought it was wonderful.
You did?
Yeah. Gee, the way you took my name, Dennis Day, and made a commercial out of it.
Yes, it was a brilliant thought. And now, fellas...
You'd have been in a spot if my name was Hassenpfeffer.
Yes, I would. And now, fellas...
Dennis Hassenpfeffer.
All right, that's enough, kid. And now, fellas...
That was Poinciana, sung by Dennis Hassenpfeffer. Gee, that's awful.
Well, what's awful about it?
Well, how do I know Hassenpfeffer can sing?
Stop being so silly, Dennis.
Well, you can call me Hassie.
Thanks. Now, fellas, let's see, what was I going to say? I had something on my mind. Oh, yes. Now, fellas, beginning next week, we'll have to do our rehearsing at Warner Brothers because I'm starting my new picture there. You know, the one I'm making with Alexis Smith.
Oh, is that The Horn Blows at Midnight?
Yes, that's the title. And, oh, boy, just wait till you see it. It's a fantasy. You know, I'm a sort of an angel like Gabriel. And in the picture, I come down to Earth to blow a trumpet and destroy the whole world.
You can do that with your violin.
I'm not playing a violin. I blow a horn. That's where the title comes from. The horn blows at midnight.
Wait a minute, Jackson. Where'd you ever learn to blow a horn?
Oh, it's easy.
Sure, he just puts it up to his mouth and lets the air out of his head.
I do not. Anyway, when I get to Earth, I lose my angelic powers, and that's when I meet Alexa Smith. In the picture, her name is Elizabeth, and my name is Nathaniel.
My name is Hassenpfeffer.
Dennis, don't interrupt me when I'm trying to explain something. Now, where was I?
You were letting the air out of your head.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, when I come down to Earth, I meet Alexa Smith, and that's where we're supposed to fall in love and have our big romantic scene.
What do you mean, supposed, Jackson?
Well, Raoul Walsh, the director, wants to take the love scene out of the picture, and I can't understand why. I don't mind for myself, but poor Alexis will be heartbroken. I don't understand why they took it out.
Well, Jack, instead of worrying about it, why don't you go over to the studio and find out?
Oh, I am, Don. Rochester is outside waiting to pick me up. In fact, I'd go now if I thought the program could possibly go on without me, you know?
Well, go ahead, Jack. I can get laughs.
Oh, well, then you better come with me, Mary. Phil can play a band number.
That's okay with me, but what do you want me to play?
Anything, Phil. Just keep time. That's all I ask. Now, come on, Mary. So long, fellas.
All right, it's first person of the Jack Benny program, broadcast date of January 30th, 1944. More coming your way after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
God, I wish I had a voice deep like that.
I wish you
Bill
did, too.
Curtis. I'd probably get a gig as a radio DJ.
Yeah, you'd probably be famous.
Man, he's got a great voice. I'll never have a voice like that.
Probably not.
Unless I don't know,
practice. Take some lessons. How to deepen your voice.
Yeah.
Volume one.
So, I'm going to tell a little story, but we don't have time right now, so we'll tell it in the next hour, because we've got to play this classic radio show here and still make the news at the top of the hour. But I have a little story to tell our listeners about Lisa after Jack Benny.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I privy to this story?
No, I'm going to tell it live on the air.
Okay.
You're not going to have any
shaking
way to stop
me. Shaking in my
me.
Boots here.
It's just live radio. All right, let's get back now to the Jack Benny program.
Jack, you better tell Rochester which way to go.
Oh, yes. Rochester.
Yes, boss.
Make a left turn first. Now a right turn, then another left. Now go straight and make that first right turn. Now another left. Now make a right turn and then another left. Now a left. Now keep going straight and...
That's enough, boss. I can find my own way out of the parking lot now.
Good. Now, Rochester, right out to Warner Brothers Studio.
Okay.
Gee, I like working at Warner's, but I hope I don't have any trouble about that romantic scene.
Oh, Jack, no matter who you make a picture for, you always have trouble. When you made Love Thy Neighbor, you had a big argument with Paramount.
Well, I had the last word, didn't I?
Yeah, but you had to phone it in from Warner's.
What's the difference as long as I'm healthy? What does that mean? Say, Rochester, did you fix up my new dressing room yesterday?
Yes, boss, but I got bad news. You have to move out of this one, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What's the matter, Jack?
First, they gave me Errol Flynn's dressing room, but they decided to paint it. Then they gave me Humphrey Bogart's, but they had to put in a new floor. Then they gave me John Garfield, but they had to redecorate it. Now I'm getting pushed out of another dressing room. Rochester, what's the matter this time?
Lassie came home.
She works at MGM. What's she doing at Warner?
Well, you know the housing problem.
Oh, well, animals have to be comfortable, too. Say, Rochester, did you feed the camel before you left the house?
Yes, and then I put her out in the backyard.
Good.
I strung a clothesline between her humps and hung out the laundry.
You see, Mary, I told you we'd find some use for her. Well, Rochester, here's Warner's. Now drive us to the main office and go slow through here. I want to see Raoul Walsh, my director, first and get this thing settled. I don't think there'll be any... Mary, that's Humphrey Bogart's dressing room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I don't think I'll have any trouble about the love scene. That's Betty Davis's dressing room. I think if I explain my viewpoint about that love scene to Raoul Walsh, he'll see it my way.
I know, Jack. That's your dressing room.
Yeah, I wonder what Lassie is so upset about.
Maybe they want to cut the love scene out of her picture, too.
See, Mary, see, I'm not the only one that gets it. Rochester, let us out in front of this building.
Okay, boss.
Come on, Mary. I want to see my director first, Raoul Walsh. His office is in here.
Okay. Yes?
I'd like to see Mr. Walsh. I'm Jack Benny.
Just a moment, please. Oh, Mr. Walsh?
Yes?
Mr. Benny, to see you.
Oh, Mr. Benny, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, try number five.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Mr. Walsh isn't in.
Oh.
He's at his tailor's having the cuffs put back on his pants.
Well, will it be long?
No, he likes his socks to show.
Well, I wish you'd try to get in touch with him. It's very important.
I'll see if I can locate him. Just a moment, please. Mr. Walsh insists upon seeing you.
Oh, well, try number eight.
Oh, Mr. Walsh.
Oh, good, huh?
Uh-uh.
Well, try number three, Miss Stephan.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Mr. Walsh left his tailor's, and on his way back to the studio, his car ran off the road and got stuck in the mud. He'll be there indefinitely.
Mud? Why, it wasn't even raining.
The studios can do anything.
Well, Gina, I wanted to get this thing settled today. It's really urgent. Can't something be done about it?
Well, I'll try to locate him once more.
Fine.
I'll lay eight if I...
Quiet.
Mr. Walsh, why won't you see Mr. Benny? After all, he is one of our stars.
I know, but I'm sure he wants to beef about that love scene that was taken out of the picture.
Well, why was it taken out?
Did you see Jack make love to Ann Sheridan and George Washington slept here?
No, I didn't.
Well, when you make love to a girl like Ann Sheridan, you should take her in your arms and gently kiss her on the lips.
Uh-huh.
You're not supposed to grab her by the earlobes and pull yourself up.
I see.
And anyway, the fact that the love scene is out isn't entirely my fault. Now you tell Mr. Benny to take the matter up with the writers.
Yes, Mr. Walsh. Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
I spoke to Mr. Walsh on the phone.
Yes?
Oh, fine. They got telephones in the mud.
Mary.
Mr. Walsh suggested you see either Mr. Hellman or Mr. Kern, the writers of the picture.
I see. Well, thank you very much. Come on, Mary, let's go.
Oh, Mr. Benny, would you mind giving this note to Mr. Hellman or Mr. Kern?
No, not at all. Come on, Mary. Thank you again. Now, here we are. Sam Hellman and James Kern. Let's go in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello. I'd like to see Mr. Hellman or Mr. Kern.
Only Mr. Kern is in.
Well, will you tell him I'd like to see him and give him this note, please? It's from Mr. Walsh.
Very well. Oh, Mr. Kern.
Just a minute. I'm thinking. All right, Miss Fox, what is it?
Jack Benny is here to see you.
Oh.
And he brought you this note from Mr. Walsh.
Thanks. It says, don't try number 5, 8, or 3. It won't work.
Then what shall I tell him?
I don't know.
Shall I try number 12?
No, not number 12. That's for my wife. Now, let me think. I know he wants to see me about that love scene we took out of his picture.
But there's nothing I can do about it.
Why not?
Did you see the way he made love to Anne Sheridan and George Washington slept here?
Yes.
Well, Annie hasn't worn earrings since.
I see. Well, Mr. Benny is waiting. What shall I tell him?
Just a minute. Let me think.
Quiet! Mr. Kern is speaking!
Oh! Let me see. Okay, I've got it.
All right, Mr. Kern is through.
Tell Mr. Benny he'd better go and see Mark Hellinger, the producer. After all, he's the one who has charge of the whole production.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Mr. Kern is on the long-distance phone right now, so he suggests that you get in touch with Mr. Hellinger. He's right down at the end of the hall.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Come on, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Never mind. I'll try it without a note this time. Come on, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Hellinger. Mr. Hellinger.
Yes. What is it, Miss Jones?
Jack Benny's here, and he'd like to see you.
Oh, send him right in.
Yes, sir. Go right in, Mr. Benny.
Well, when he gets back, will you tell him that... What?
You can go right in. Mr. Hellinger wants to see you.
Oh, thank you. Come on, Mary.
Don't rush in. It might be a booby trap.
Don't be silly. He's always glad to see me. Well, hello, Mark.
Hello, Jack. When did you get back from Africa?
Why, Mark, I've been back for months. I'm going to start your picture pretty soon.
Oh, yes, yes. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mr. Hellinger.
Say, Jack, I understand that you're very anxious to get started with our new picture.
Yes, yes, I am, Mark, but...
And I hear that you're very, very happy about it.
Oh, I am, yes. But there's one little thing that bothers me.
Oh, it bothered us, too, so we took it out.
What?
You know, the love scene between you and Alexa Smith.
Now, Mark, I personally think that the love scene is very important to the picture and should have stayed in. Now, why did you take it out?
Well, look, Jack, this is a fantasy. You play the part of an angel, and Alexa Smith is an angel, too. So when you meet, there must be no thought of love.
I know, but...
We feel there should be no connection between love and anyone wearing wings.
Well, now, that's silly. What about the birds and the bees? Answer that.
I wouldn't know. They're not on the contract to warn us.
You're evading the question. Now, look, Mark. I'm capable of doing love scenes. I've done love scenes before, and I can do them again. I'm good in love scenes.
Jack, I'll take your word for it. Stop kissing me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think I was that close to you, you know?
Well, then, for heaven's sake, get off his lap.
Mary, I got excited. I'm sorry. Now, look, Mark. I hate to get tough about it. But unless the love scene comes
back... Say, Mark, Mark.
What is it, John?
I got a new idea for the Jack Benny picture.
You have?
Yeah. Now, in my version, Jack makes his entrance as though. And that makes the audience think that he. So I have him coming around, but not the way you think, because Alexis would then be in a close-up while Jack. It isn't exactly her character, so we have to.
What?
Hey, you got something there, John.
But you take that scene where he just about to, which comes after the one where he did, I have it where he doesn't.
But I want to. I'm one of the stars.
Well, what do you think about it, Mark?
I think it's a great idea. That's the way we'll do it.
Okay. Now, shall I empty the wastebasket?
Later.
Now, look, Mark.
Yes, Jack, what were we talking about?
My love scene. I don't want to get nasty. But if that doesn't get back in the picture, you'll just have to get yourself another boy.
Excuse me, Jack. Hello? Yes? Just a moment. For you, Jack.
Who is it?
A Mr. Hasenpfeffer.
Oh, hang up. It's that silly kid. Now, listen, Mark. I've got a contract here, and that love scene is going back in the picture... Or...
Well, Jack, I'm sorry. I didn't know you felt that way about it. After all, we want everybody to be happy. We wouldn't think of hurting you for the world.
Jack, look what he's doing. 9-year contract.
I know, and he's making the legs too long. Look, Mark, when you want to make a paper doll, you're supposed to shape the head like this. Then you come around the shoulders like this.
Oh, yes. How do you make the arms?
Well, that's easy. You see, you just tear it to one side with a little curve. See, like this. Then you go out a little for the hips, in a little for the thighs, see? A little curve for the knees, and then straight down to the turkey wood.
Well, Jack, remember the good old days of the horseless carriage?
Well, I know, Don. Can't say that I do.
No? Well, that's funny. Well, you must remember the gay old days of the linen dusters and that song, A Bicycle Built for Two.
Well, frankly, no, Don.
Say, what's the idea anyway? Oh, I see. I suppose you were too young for those old timers. Before your day and so on, huh?
Well, you know, Don, after all, I'm only...
Yeah, I know. Well, now you spoiled my whole story.
What do you mean? What story, Don?
Well, the fact that you and Grape Nuts are just alike.
Well, you mean because we're both so distinctive and so pleasing and so...
I mean that for over 40 years, since way back in the gay 90s, Grape Nuts has been a leading American favorite. Now, I was going to say the same thing for you.
Well, if you want to put it that way, I could add a few years.
No, Jack. Let that swell, malty-rich Grape Nuts flavor, that crisp, crunchy Grape Nuts texture, speak for itself. And Grape Nuts is a basic seven food, too, friends, full of all-around whole-grain nourishment. So for a delicious, nutritious breakfast treat, just call for Grape Nuts, America's favorite.
Well, folks, next Sunday we'll be with you at the same time, broadcasting from the Navy Small Craft Training Center at Roosevelt Base on Terminal Island. Terminal Island. I want to thank Mark Hellinger, Raoul Walsh, and Jimmy Kern for appearing here through the courtesy of Warner Brothers. And, oh, yes, Lassie barking through the courtesy of MGM. Please remember the March of Dimes and War Bonds. Good night, everybody.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Jack Benny program, a broadcast from January 30th, 1944, where Jack goes to talk about why they deleted his big love scene from The Horn Blows at Midnight. Jack Benny and all his gang. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more right here on the WGN Radio Theater. So, hey, Tom, you know what? This is what I wanted to tell all our listeners, what Lisa did to me this week from Ohio. She was in Ohio. And last week, she begged me and to sing a song with her and do a video-licious song, okay? So she begged me.
What is a video?
We
got to
do this song. Let's do a song together for our listeners, me and you. And she knows I can't sing. So she's like, this will be great. Let's do Grease. She talked me into it.
This is such a big lie.
No. This is the absolute truth.
I begged you to do this.
Hang on a second.
And I picked Grease.
Hang on a second.
Not a chance.
So wait. So, no, I think I picked Grease because she was like, let's sing a song together, duet.
I would not pick Grease.
I picked Grease.
Okay.
Because it's the only musical I know.
Exactly.
So now we do it, and she's a professional singer. So now we do it, Tom, and she listens to it. I'm horrible on it. She listens to it, and she's like, no, we can't use this one. We got to do it again. So I don't want to argue with her, you know, because, listen, she didn't like it, so I didn't want to argue with her. So we did it again, right?
Okay.
The whole thing. And I was even worse the second time. And she's like, okay, this is good, right? So now she's telling the listener she's going to post it, all this kind of stuff.
I never
so
said
this
I was
week
posted.
I go to I'm like, you know what, I'm going to watch it, what the heck, right?
Might as well.
I go to look for it, I click it, and it says, oops, the page is no longer here.
Oh.
And so I called Shante and I said, hey Shante, what happened to the Grease musical that the Lisa and I sang? She's like, oh, Lisa called me and told me to take it down.
I didn't call her. I texted her, just to be clear.
So.
Details, Lisa.
Well,
details.
Wait a second. I actually asked her not to post it at all. So it wasn't like it went up and she took it down. It just never went up. just to
okay.
be clear.
So this doesn't okay. make any sense to you, Tom. She makes me do it. I didn't want to do it.
I did not want to do it. Nobody makes him
didn't
do it.
Didn't want
to do it. He wanted to do it. He begged me to do this. Grease. It had to be Grease.
Well, it's the only musical I know.
Just so we're clear, it was really awkward.
Why was it awkward?
Some love, and it was very silly, and it was very sophomoric, and it was inappropriate all for right. us to do. And I looked at it and went, I'm sorry, just wrong on so many levels.
But we told our listeners that we were going to post it.
Well, we'll post something else.
Oh, my God. Hey, Roger.
Roger. How about opera?
Exactly.
I'd love to see it.
Roger, I've got a joke for you, buddy.
Uh-oh.
All right. So every 10 years, the monks at the monastery are allowed to break their vow of silence mm-hmm. to speak two words, only two words. Okay. So 10 years go by, and one of the monks, it's his first chance to speak. He thinks really long and hard before he says his two words, and he says to the head monk, "Food bad." 10 years later, it's his turn to speak again. This time he says to the head monk, "Bed hard." A decade later, it's the big day again, and he says to the head monk, "I quit." And the head monk says, "Well, I'm not surprised, because ever since you've been here, all you've been doing is complaining." Wait, what happened? I didn't hang on a second. Hang on.
So the line was...
There you go.
He says, "Because all you've been doing is complaining."
Right.
That's
all
it.
He's been doing is... Hang on. Say it again, please.
"Because all you've been doing is complaining."
See, when Roger said it, it's almost funny.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the almost.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We're having way too much fun.
Oh, yeah.
In the next hour, we're going to tune into Broadway Is My Beat and then Dimension X. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, and Lisa's back from Ohio.
I'm so glad to be
here. It's not the same when you're not here, Lisa.
No, it's definitely different.
You know? So, all right. Well, it's time for the news. It's midnight. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. About 9 minutes after midnight. Happy Monday, everybody. This is program 168 in the series. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. We have Tom Hush producing the show tonight. Great job, Tom. And Esmeralda's up there along with Roger. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for news and traffic. And we have some terrific classic radio still this morning. Yeah?
Yeah.
See how
I
did that?
I
didn't
right.
say tonight. I said this morning.
No, I see.
I'm learning. It's only taken 2 years.
You're
figure
good.
It out. But this morning we still have Broadway Is My Beat and then Dimension X, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming comedy The Lovers, about a long-married, dispassionate couple who are both in the midst of serious affairs.
Mm.
And the winner
sounds
will get...
Sounds spicy.
It certainly does. Get a $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nadi.
All right. Here is a hint. What do they win? Lou Malnati's?
Yeah, $25
gift
card.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played Paula in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Don't feel sorry for me. I'm used to it. It's hereditary.
All right. Who is that great actress? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Starting Tuesday, WGN-TV Evening News adds another hour at 6. Mark Sepulsa, Micah Mater, Tom Skilling, and Dan Rohn will be there on WGN-TV Evening News at 6, starting Tuesday.
And we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Don't feel sorry for me. I'm used to it. It's hereditary.
And we've got Roland on the line from Arlington Heights. Hey, Roland.
Yeah, hi. Okay, catch you guys every week.
Oh, good. Well, we're here every week, so we're glad that you have a chance to hear
us
every week.
Some of us are here every week.
Actually, we're here twice a week, so we're glad that you're with us.
Some people are in Ohio.
Some people are back in Chicago. You're dwelling again on the past. So, Roland, who is that actress while Carl and I are continuing to bicker here?
Deborah Winger.
Deborah Winger is absolutely right, and we are thrilled to give you a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. Of course, that is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can check out one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can also order online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks so much for calling in, Roland, and for listening as well.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Take care.
Thanks, Roland. All right, it's time for Broadway Is My Beat, one of the best detective shows on the radio. Came to the radio sets in 1949, lasted till 1954. It starred Larry Thor as Times Square Detective Danny Clover. And these were just a great, great radio drama, a lot like Dragnet, that type of feel. The other cast members were Charles Calvert. He played Sergeant Gino Tartaglia. Jack Crucian was Sergeant Mugovan. And Clover worked homicide from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Very realistic kind of drama set in New York, good detective series. We have an episode for you now from December 17th, 1949, called The Case of Henry Baker, starring Larry Thor. Here's part one of Broadway Is My Beat.
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's a tinseled wilderness of steel and of stone, and the foliage of darkness is thick and unyielding. You make circles and pretend you're not lost. You make circles and walk and try to break through. Then you get the message. It can't be done. Because it's a cage, a big cage. The animal cries you heard were your own. It's Broadway, My Beat. At 10 o'clock of a bright December morning, Broadway's music shops open their loudspeakers. And Broadway wears a scrubbed face, a new haircut, and a flashy smile arranged to look appealing and innocent. Because Broadway is on its way to con Santa Claus. Then you get a look at yourself in a mirror decked with holly. And you know you're doing the same thing. So you drop a coin in the pot.
Thank you, Danny.
It feels good inside. And then at 46th Street, you see Patrolman Meshikoff ad-libbing his way through a crowd. But he's got a tight hand on a little guy with gentle and tired blue eyes.
People, all right, the party's over. So make way for me and Santa Claus, huh, townspeople?
Me too, Patrolman Meshikoff.
Oh, Danny, I didn't notice you in the round of my appointed duties.
And your duties?
This little guy here, you see him?
I see him. Hello.
Hello.
This little guy, he's crazy, Danny. Lost his marbles, like Meshuggah. You know what I mean?
I'm not crazy. I'm only doing what I have to do.
You have to do this? You have to give away $10 bills in the middle of Broadway? This is not only a hindrance to the flow of traffic, it smacks also of holes in the head.
You tell me about it, mister.
I'll tell you, Danny, even if it breaks my heart. This sweet little character is a potential client for Bellevue. He tells me he's got 50 grand to give away.
Let him tell me, huh, Meshikoff? Would you like a hot cup of coffee, mister? It's pretty cold out here.
I'd like it. Thank you.
How about the automat, okay?
Oh, very nice.
Let's go.
He's a very nice man, that Patrolman Meshikoff. He has a kind heart. I tried to give him $10, but he wouldn't take it. Will you take it for him?
All right. We'll put it in the policeman's fund. After you, mister.
Thank you.
Here, I got a couple of nickels. You want coffee or chocolate?
Chocolate would be nice. You think I'm crazy, too?
You look like a man who worked hard for all that money. Why are you giving it away? Here's your chocolate.
Oh, thank you. I give it away because it's my duty to share it with those who need it.
Those people in the street, maybe they're just greedy. Oh, here's a place. We can stand at this counter. Sugar?
Thank you. Some people buy yachts with money. I buy little boats in people's hearts. Maybe they'll still be sailing when I'm no longer here to wave them on their way.
You'll be here a long time, Mr.
Henry Baker. No, I won't be here for long because I'm going to be murdered.
What?
My brother George. He'll murder me because he wants my $50,000. And I want to give it away before he kills me. What's your name?
Well, Danny Clover. Look, I don't quite...
You're a policeman, aren't you?
Yes,
Then you'll protect me until I give all that money away. You'll do that, won't you, Mr. Clover?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, you're very kind. Kindness is in your face, Mr. Clover.
Look, Mr. Baker, you've done enough for today. Why don't you go home and rest? If there's any trouble, call me right away. Just give your name and they'll put you through to me.
I may call you at any time?
Any time.
All right. Now I'll go home. Thank you for the chocolate, Mr. Clover. It was very kind.
Danny, there's a Mr. George Baker wants to see you.
Oh, well, show him in.
Okay, Danny. Right in here, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. Lieutenant Clover?
Yes. What can I do for you? Sit down.
Thank you. I just learned you had a little talk with my brother.
So?
So this. I've come to ask you not to have him put away.
You think he should be put away?
Well, he's mad. Oh, I won't quibble with you. I just know that.
Mr. Baker, I talked to your brother a long time. I think you can be proud of him.
Proud? Hardly that. Making a fortune and giving it to drifters. Well, that's his own affair, I suppose. But it's the other thing.
Which is?
His insane delusion that I want to murder him.
Yet you don't want him committed to an institution. Why?
Well, I'm sorry for him. He means no harm. I try to help him.
How?
Well, I arranged that he be taken care of by a doctor.
Oh, I'm glad you did. What doctor?
An expensive one, Dr. Michael Sinclair.
Dr. Michael Sinclair. Let's see. Oh, pardon me a minute.
Yeah, surely.
Danny Clover speaking.
He tried again, Danny. He tried to kill me again.
He did, Henry? When was this?
Just now, just this instant. He shot at me, but he didn't get me.
I'm glad to hear it, Henry.
You'll have to do something, Danny. Promise me you'll do something.
I promise. Where are you?
2150 East 20th Street.
I'll be right down. Your brother, Mr. Baker.
What did he want?
You'll have to excuse me. I got to get down there. He says there's been another attempt on his life.
A gentle knock does it, Mac.
Shall we try again?
If you've got time to play, you've got nothing important to do here. Point yourself north, kid.
Yeah. Now we stop rubbing noses, huh? Now we discuss our problem.
You think so? I say we play some more.
Copper.
Huh?
Blush to my shoes when I say it. I'm from the police.
Oh, so I can't bang on you, huh? I gotta throw my hands back against the wall and drop my jaw and say, golly. I gotta do that because you're from the police.
Do it. It'll make me feel important. Where are you from?
From here. Landlord. I had cards printed once that said Ben Croft, landlord. They got sticky on a hot day and melted, but I ain't changed. You want a crummy room?
I want to see Henry Baker.
Huh? I got a theory. You want to hear? I'll tell you. A cop puts in 8 hours a day with the city ordinances and a gun and phony muscle. That gives him 16 hours left to be a grabber. That's why you want to see Baker. Grabber. You, an off-duty cop.
Look, I'm working. I'm between card-punching time. So when I say a question, you say an answer. What's your interest in Henry Baker?
I like him. Answer.
Like why?
Because sometimes I talk to him, then I can stand to look in the mirror. Answer.
Try this. Why didn't you want to let me in?
Because people come here, try to get the little guy's dough from him. Because he's got a crazy idea someone's going to walk in and kill him. Because...
Maybe he isn't kidding. Let's go.
In here.
Kill me.
Who? Who was it?
George, my brother. I saw him. He shot at me from the alley.
Uh-huh. The shot came through the window, but there's no one out here now.
He was waiting for me, there, outside in the alley. Then he took a shot at me.
I see. You're sure it was your brother?
I know my brother, don't I?
Sure you do. Hey, what's this, sticking out from under the bed?
You mean my suitcase?
No. Yeah, your suitcase.
Open it, Mr. Clover.
Sure. Holy...
Almost $50,000, Mr. Clover. Have a $10 bill. Go ahead, take some. You're my friend and I want to have some.
I didn't tell Henry Baker that what I'd seen sticking out from under his bed was a gun that had just been fired. I didn't tell him that the window glass had fallen into the alley outside. And I didn't tell him that all that meant he had fired the shot himself from inside his room and through the window. He didn't even know his brother couldn't possibly have been there. But I couldn't let him know I saw through his child's game of attempted murder. But I could take the gun away with me, and I could call on his doctor, because a doctor is where you go when someone important to you is sick.
Yes, what is it?
I'd like to see Dr. Sinclair. Is he in?
I'm Dr. Sinclair. Won't you come in?
Dr. Michael Sinclair was the least medical-looking girl I ever saw. She wore a dress of some metallic cloth that shimmered in the afternoon light. And in her eyes was a kind of grave, mocking smile. And her mouth... her mouth...
The way you look at me, I wouldn't diagnose as neurotic. Not in the least.
I'm sorry, it's only that...
That what?
I don't know. You're the doctor.
It's that I'm a woman doctor, and women doctors are rare, wasn't that it?
Rare? Yeah, that's it.
And women have the vote, give their seats to nice old gentlemen in subways, get their PhDs in psychology at Hunter College in the Bronx. You feel better now?
I'm a policeman, Doctor. Danny Clover. I want to talk to you about a patient of yours, Henry Baker.
What about him?
He tells me his brother is trying to kill him.
Yes, that's what he told me.
When did he first come to you?
About 2 weeks ago. His brother sent him to me. What's your interest in Mr. Baker? Has he committed a crime?
No. It's only that he's a friend. I want to help, if I can.
Yes, he does have a lot of money, doesn't he, Mr. Clover? And he gives it away.
It's good you're a woman.
Don't be angry. I find greed universal. I have it myself. I just diagnosed you incorrectly, that's all. Or did I?
You keep records of everything Baker tells you?
Of everything everyone tells me. I record it on tape. New world, new methods. I find it more revealing and more accurate than taking notes.
May I hear Baker's recording?
Mr. Clover, what he says to me is in the nature of a confessional. I see no need to trespass on Mr. Baker's privacy. That's a law, isn't it?
Is it? I'd like to hear the recording, please.
I guess there's no harm done. I'll get it since you're a friend. Here it is. You'll find, Mr. Clover, that Henry's case is the usual one of sibling rivalry. More intense, perhaps. More outward going. More bizarre.
How do you play this thing?
Like this.
Why should he keep imagining his brother's trying to kill him?
That's my problem, Mr. Clover, and I... Shh, that's me.
Everything, just as it comes to you. It began when I sold my truck farm and took all the money and savings and started to give it away. I said to him, George, why do you want to kill me? You want my money. That's why you want to kill me.
It's all like that, Mr. Clover. A recurring aberration.
You think it's only that, eh? There couldn't be any truth in it.
I strongly doubt it.
How often do you treat him?
Every day. As a matter of fact, he should have been here an hour ago.
What?
I called his rooming house. He wasn't there. I called his brother, not there. Do you have any idea where he might be?
Yeah. Yeah, Doctor, I do.
I remember your face. Here you are, sir. Will you help?
Henry, come here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Clover. Oh, you're angry at me for giving away money again, aren't you?
No, I'm not angry, Henry.
Shall we have another cup of chocolate? Oh, that would be nice.
All right, Henry.
Oh, but I can't. I just remembered I have an appointment with Dr. Sinclair. Would you like to come along?
All right, Henry.
Oh, she's very pretty. Oh, Mr. Clover.
Huh? What's the matter?
Mr. Clover. Mr.
Oh. On that very dramatic music, Lisa, let's take a break on Broadway Is My Beat. We'll get back to it in a few minutes, but first these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We have a text in line. That is 312-981-7200. Feel free to text us. Ask us any questions about the show or classic radio or what Lisa's favorite food is to cook.
And we might answer because sometimes I don't really understand what people are saying. They have the darndest questions sometimes.
Yeah, they do. We have a cake coming in here from the Ritz.
I think on the 9th. I'm working that
Tom,
out.
Tom, if you're around, if you like chocolate cake, the Ritz makes the best chocolate cake you've ever had in your life.
Okay, it's actually from the restaurant called Deca, which is at the Ritz.
Okay. Yeah.
Not the hotel itself.
You like chocolate cake?
Take one look at my body here. And,
ooh,
you know,
Tom, what are you saying?
I'm saying that this is a body by chocolate cake.
Ah,
it's just body. Like, pick up on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't just body plugging myself. Yeah, body by chocolate. My doctor says I was born a 40-year-old man in terms of body. So.
well, that would be good for
I would
for
be
Carl.
Happy.
It's a 10-layer cake.
It's unbelievable.
And we're going to have one for our anniversary. And then in the summer, we're going to have somebody come in and actually talk about the cake and how it's prepared. It takes like 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, it takes like
different
2 weeks
layers.
To make the cake.
It's like a 10-layer cake. It's quite pricey. I don't know if I should talk about that on the
air. Well, it's okay.
But people don't normally order an entire cake. They wouldn't. You know, order a piece or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. Best cake I've ever had in my life.
So we'll talk about that more.
And I've eaten a lot of cake. It's just take a look at me. You can tell
our
2 year
anniversary is next Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or this coming
2 years.
Sunday.
But we have a special meet and greet on April 23rd at Spin right here in Chicago, 344 North State.
Exactly. We're going to play ping pong.
6 to 9 p.m., folks. Don't miss it. Mark it down.
We're going to eat pizza, and we're going to have some fun.
We're going to have
free
appetizers.
It's free. It's all free. We just want to meet you.
Come meet Lisa and me.
Yeah.
And we will. We have pictures we're going to give out, right? And then
probably
we're
trying to
I thought you
that
said
together.
you were gonna handle that. You're handling that.
I'm handling everything.
Did you see the memo, Lisa?
Everything.
Did you see the memo?
Just if there's something to be done, I'm doing it. That's just how
Lisa
it works.
Is much better at this kind of stuff than me. She's very
he
organized.
He just says that like Tom Sawyer, so that I will do everything. And I'm like, Carl, can't you call? And he's like, no, you do it. You're better.
You're way better at calling.
Well, that's true, but you could still do something.
Call
now and then.
Me. Call me.
And that's Blondie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that song.
I know you do.
All right. It's back to Broadway Is My Beat.
His body slumped to the pavement and his face stared up at me. It was a face from which everything had fled. Terror, the waiting, the protest against pain, the slender knife between his ribs, the blood that nudged from the corner of his lips. Was the shape of his dying. And suddenly the crowd was aware that death had touched him. The confusion welled out from near the dead man, eddied, then broke itself into the fragments of people shopping for a happy Christmas. And with them, inside the sudden spasms of shock and motion, and lost, was a person who had just killed a friend of mine. You've got to listen close on Broadway. That's the only way you can tell if the sudden sound you just heard was laughter or anguish. Not that it makes a lot of difference. Broadway reacts to clowns and dead men in pretty nearly the same way. And the dead man you saw lying in the blood of his death on a holiday pavement, you tell your family about. How the policeman pushed you back, but you saw anyhow. But you didn't tell how somebody came and swirled a mop over the sidewalk. Because somehow you knew that was his final recognition. The requiem for a man who had just died. But I saw it. I had to stay till the end. Until Henry Baker was shrouded and carried away. Until Henry Baker was made a matter of official concern. Then I left. I had to go to a place.
Yeah. Oh, it's you, the police fella.
Yeah, Croft, me.
And come on in out of the snow and cold and the dismal elements. See, I'm doing the right thing by you. Stick around. I got a bowing and scraping act that'll tug your heartstring to pieces.
Henry Baker is dead. Did you hear what I said, Croft?
I heard him. Say it once more.
Baker, dead.
See, it don't pay. It don't pay at all. Good little guy with a good idea. Be nice. The world couldn't stomach him.
Breaks you up, huh?
Yeah, I don't show it good, do I? Because I don't know the words how to talk about it. To a high school graduate like you, I ain't being crushed enough. How did he die?
The world slipped a knife in his back. A real one. I don't want to repeat myself this time, Croft.
Who would want to kill him?
I don't know you for a lifetime, Croft, so I'd say you might.
Yeah, you'd have to say that. That's so you can smile when you draw your pay. You're being a keen police fella.
Yeah, this keen. How come you got a hat and muffler on? The temperature's fine in here.
I've been out. Smell my breath, you'll see.
Around Broadway and 46?
Uh-uh, nowhere near that.
Stick around, Croft. I'm going down to Baker's room. A matter of $50,000 in
keen,
a suitcase.
Keen police fella.
Where's the light switch? Oh. Better. Under the bed. No suitcase. Maybe he found another hiding place. Oh, not in the closet. Maybe in the bureau. Hey, who turned out the light? Oh. Somewhere I heard it, caught hold of it, and wouldn't let it go. Christmas bells banging an offbeat rhythm to a dream I never had before. I was in the middle of a room which was in the middle of a room which was in the middle of a room, and far away, far, far away was a little man with a blood-red $10 bill tucked in his coat lapel. Then he did a clever thing. He did a backflip. When he stood up, it wasn't him at all. Her name was... It didn't make any difference. She was dressed in metallic cloth, and her mouth said I'd better get up. So I did. I looked for Ben Croft, and he wasn't there. So the thing for me to do was to get back to the office. So I did.
There's a Dr. Michael Sinclair to see you, Danny.
Huh? Well, sure in, Tartaglia.
Okay. You can go in, miss.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for everything. Surprised to see me, Mr. Clover?
Should I be?
Yes. I'm a very busy doctor, and I know you're a busy, busy man, so I'll come right to the point. I want Henry Baker's money, all that was left of it.
Oh? You're his widow? Henry never told me. Neither did you.
Nothing quite so cheap as that, Mr. Clover. Henry promised me his money. Every visit to my office, he promised me. He said that when he died, he wanted me to have whatever money was left because I was good and kind and helped sick people.
Henry said all that on a tape recording?
No. No, that was our own secret. When a man says things like that to a girl doctor, Mr. Clover, she wouldn't record it as if it were a symptom of a wandering mind. Now, would she?
I wouldn't know. And I wouldn't want to keep you from your appointed rounds, Doctor. So many people must be crying out for you.
You're saying I don't get the money?
I'm saying we haven't got it. I'm saying a girl with a bright, shining mind like yours can make her own way in the world without robbing the dead. I'm saying...
Quite enough. And all of it insulting.
Ain't it the truth? Thank you, Doctor. Happy neurosis, Doctor. I was glad when she went. Anyhow, she ruined the decor of my office. I made a note to splatter the place with wax roses, then have her in again, which constituted the mixed-up daydream for the day. Right now, there was a man I had to see. George Baker, loving brother and sole living heir of a murdered man. I wondered how he reacted to the news. At his home, I found out.
I have nothing to say to you, Mr. Clover.
You don't understand about policemen, do you, Mr. Baker?
When they intrude upon grief, they're intruders.
I started to talk about you not understanding policemen. We got a right to make a nuisance of ourselves, Mr. Baker. The public demands it.
What do you want to know?
You thought your brother was mad, didn't you?
I told you that. Of course Henry was mad. He gave away money.
Money? What money?
Money that was in a suitcase under his bed.
Do you have the suitcase?
Me? You have it.
Uh-uh. I don't have it.
Then find it. It's mine. I'm his only living relative.
Take it easy.
Take what easy? I want that money. It's mine.
See what I mean, Mr. Baker?
What?
See what I mean? You want that money so badly, maybe you'd kill for it.
Get out of here!
You can't say that to the law without nudging me with your elbow and smiling. You know that, Mr. Baker.
I'll post a suitable reward. Does that interest you, Mr. Clover? A reward?
Wait a minute.
I know men like you, Mr. Clover. You're greedy. You're holding out for a price. So I'll give it to you. I'll give you 20%.
Baker?
25%.
So help me, Baker. I'll...
No, no, no. No, don't hit me.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'll just throw you away.
Dog! Pig! Filth! Scum!
Your back patrol and Meshikov picked up Kraft. They're in your office. Hey, Danny, what's the matter?
Oh, Danny, I picked up Kraft here at the Eagle Tavern. He was spending money like a drunken sailor.
Yeah, get out of here, Meshikov.
Okay, Danny.
You ran away, Kraft. Tell me, bitter, bitter men like you, you always run away?
Sometimes. Things leave a bad taste in your mouth sometimes, like you. You do that to me. Now you know.
You slugged me, beat me up. That makes you feel good, huh?
It would have, but I didn't have the pleasure.
Maybe I can arrange it sometime. Just you and me.
A pleasure.
First, tell me about the dough. The dough that flowed like wine.
It was given to me by a little guy who had a healthier brain than all of us. That includes you and me.
Baker gave you the money? How much?
$100. 10 crispy sawbucks. That makes $100.
That made you a big man on Second Avenue.
Now you haven't got it right, Mr. Clover. Baker gave me the dough. He made me promise to toast his way to heaven when he died. This I was doing when your bull walked in and stuck it up.
You could have followed Baker up to Broadway. You could have stood in the crowd and slipped a knife into him. Then you could have taken his dough and hidden it.
You want to know something, Clover? I'll... bear my soul to you. None of that what you said could I do. It's a weakness with me how I'm in love with good people.
Yeah. Yeah. Baker sometime had callers in his room.
Yeah?
The callers. Who were they?
You.
Me.
His brother.
His brother.
His doctor.
His what?
His doctor, a perfume doctor with the body of a girl and the legs of a girl.
Like how often?
Like practically every day. It was a thing a man could look forward to. Her with her little black case and a smile that said... Hey, policeman, where are you going? I ain't finished with my confession.
Oh... Mr. Clover, what an exciting surprise.
For both of us, Doctor.
Professional visit or social? Perhaps we could combine them, you and I.
But not out here. Inside, Doctor.
You won't mind if the place is a mess.
Not at all. You know, Doctor, I've a problem. I miss my old friend.
That's my laboratory. I allow no one in here.
But, Doctor, how can I get well if you keep secrets from me? Yeah, what are all these little cardboard boxes?
The recordings of my patients.
Here's Henry Baker's. Mind if I listen to it on the recorder here? Maybe Henry said something on this tape I didn't hear before.
You heard all that was important.
Not everything, Doctor. Like how it was you who visited him and not vice versa, like you told me. Practicing psychologists do that now? They visit the patient?
Oh, I lied, didn't I?
Uh-huh. Oh, closet full of test tubes and bottles. Very medical for an unmedical doctor.
Are you always nosy like this?
Call it an occupational disease. What do you think happened to Henry's money? As a psychologist, your guess might be better than a cop's.
Don't go in there.
Pretty bedroom. Planning a trip, Doctor?
No.
That's good, because this suitcase, it's kind of shabby for a career girl like you.
Leave it alone, Mr. Clover.
And the initials, HB. What do they stand for, Doctor? Michael Sinclair in code? I have bad habits, Doctor. I open other people's mail and suitcases marked with the initials of Henry Baker. All these $10 bills. They could have made Henry so many friends.
He gave it to me. He gave it to me because I cured his fixation.
They cure it with murder now? Let's go, Doctor. Grab a hat or something and let's go.
That must be a patient, Mr. Clover. May I answer it?
Yeah. I'll wait in your laboratory. Tell your patient you're busy. And Doctor...
Yes?
Remember, nothing fancy. Just tell him to go away.
I'm sorry, but
don't be sorry about anything. Just
you can't come in here.
Can't I? Can't I not? See? I'm in all right. Now give me my brother's money.
I don't have it.
Give it to me. Give it to me, or I'll beat you up just as I did that policeman. He wanted that money for himself, like you do. Give it to me.
It's in there, in that room, my laboratory.
Good, good, very good.
I sold my truck farm and took all the money and savings.
What's that?
And started to give it away. I said to him, George, why do you want to kill me?
It's Henry. He's alive. Money. But I killed him. I killed him. I'll kill him again. I'll kill him over and over again. I'll kill him.
Baker! Baker!
I'll kill you, Henry. I'll kill you, Henry.
You... makes me feel good to give it away to people.
I'll kill you, Baker! I'll kill you!
He needs friends. That way, when you leave this world, you'll be remembered. What more could be a man ask? You see their faces when I give it to them.
Don't look like that, Danny.
Happy. They look
you
so
had to kill him.
Happy.
There was nothing else you could do.
Money, that's important.
Yeah. Okay, Doctor. Get your hat. And so it was over, done. A little man had given away pieces of his heart in kindness until it was shattered finally by violence. And his murderer, his brother, two bullets had fixed the mask of greed on his face. Michael Sinclair? She had the money all the time. She cried when we took it away from her, but it didn't do her any good. Not a bit of good. Broadway's sleeping now, and the furious avenue of the night is still. It stretches out in front of you without beginning, without end. Only the sleepwalkers are there, the handful whose lust for a dream or reality is never through, the seekers, the sodden, the huggers close of nothing. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover and is written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The musical score was composed by Alexander Courage and conducted by Wilbur Hatch, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. The cast tonight included Charles Calvert, Jerry Hausner, Rolf Sedan, Byron Kane, Lou Merrill, and Joan Banks. Now stay tuned for Sing It Again, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. Joe Walter speaking. This is CBS, where you find Broadway is My Beat every Saturday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's a great episode of Broadway is My Beat, December 17th, 1949, called The Case of Henry Baker, starring Larry Thor, as heard on CBS. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, yeah, here it is. Oh, man, I should be on Dancing with the Stars. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be
great.
What do
you think, Tom?
I think you'd be really good.
I would do all disco. I would just do all disco, and I wouldn't dance with my partner. Because I can't do that. I can't do the double dance thing.
He doesn't do well with partners in general. He's
just
kind of a one-man show.
I would just dance my own thing, and then the girl would dance her own thing, and then they'd judge us.
Yeah. Well, I think if David Ross can do it, I don't see why not.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
He's doing
still
really
on it,
well,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't watch a ton of Dancing with the Stars, but as far as I know, he's keeping with it.
I tell you what, man, if I'm ever on Dancing with the Stars, Lisa, it's all disco. I'm telling you.
Good.
All disco.
If you're on, I'll watch.
Will you?
Yeah, I'll watch you.
Can you do the dance where you're dancing with your husband, like you know, like the thing where he dips you and all that? Do you do that with Dan?
Yeah.
You could do that?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, not like they do it on Dancing with the Stars exactly. You know, it's an amateur version.
I was married, Tom. I was married 25 years, never danced and did the dance with the...
What?
Like, I did danced with her,
but
I never did the dance where you hold the hand and you'd spin her and all. I can't do that.
I just do the hokey pokey.
I trip and fall. I fall a lot. Hokey pokey. Yeah, that's good.
Just do the hokey pokey.
You've fallen and you can't get
up. Do the hokey pokey. Put your left side in.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Remember
here we
that
go.
One?
Left side.
What a beautiful first dance.
Yeah. The hokey pokey.
Yeah.
I was going to say, You know, we didn't mention our free Radio Classics website. Don't miss that. Tom signed up for it. You get it every Monday, right, Tom?
Every single Monday gets me through my night shift.
Great stuff, right?
Fantastic.
You get a different classic radio show. Folks, we will give you 52 classic radio shows every single year. You'll get maybe The Shadow one week. You'll get Jack Benny the next week. You know, might be Boston Blackie, The Whistler a following week. Every single Monday, I email you a classic radio show, along with a picture of who's in that classic radio show, the cast list, the synopsis, the date, the original broadcast date, who the sponsor was. It's a free service, and it's a way of thanking you for being our listener. So just go to freeradioclassics.com, and there's an S at the end of that, freeradioclassics.com, and just fill it out. It's real easy. Just your name and email address. Hit send. You'll get a confirmation email. Click that. And then all of a sudden, every Monday, magically, you get an email.
Well, I enjoyed my last Monday because Lucille Ball was suspense.
And that's
I enjoyed listening to her do suspense, which is completely different than her typical comedy.
Right, Dime a Dance, it was
and
called.
And she was good.
She could do anything.
No, I know, but sometimes you get into a niche, like comedy, and you don't know how she would be. But she was
That's what
great.
I love about suspense. They would often cast comedians and comedians, you know, to be in those roles of those, you know, dramas, which is great.
I like that.
She
Dime
was
Dance.
Terrific on
she
there.
Was.
Of course, she did a lot of drama too in her earlier career. You know, she was in movies and things.
Right.
But so go to freeradioclassics.com, sign up, and start getting emails. You'll get one today.
Right.
If you do it now, if you do it tonight or this morning, by around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll get your first email
from
me.
You're confusing me.
Well, there you go. All right, in our next hour, we're going to tune in to Dimension X, good sci-fi adventure. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It's 1:01 in the morning. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I'm pretty sure you're Lisa Wolf. Because
are you sure?
Because Carl Amari was here yesterday, but Lisa Wolf was in Ohio.
Oh, here we go.
So
here
I'm pretty sure that you're Lisa Wolf.
Well, you know, every now and then it's good to be missed.
Was it fun?
I had a great
Did
time.
Did you have a good time
My daughter's
with your
at
daughter?
School there. We had a bonding weekend together.
Wow.
It's a sorority mommy
That's
daughter
more important
thing.
Than your listeners, huh?
Oh, just on one night.
Yeah.
The second night, I'm better off being here.
My listeners are number one to me.
Yeah, well, some of us have other things going on in our
what
life.
What was it, like a sorority thing? It was like a mother-daughter sorority? Like all the other girls had their moms there?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, most of them did.
Wow,
yeah.
Very, very nice.
We had mommy-daughter events
That's great.
Together. We
That's
had
very
fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I posted a picture on my Facebook, but I didn't post
really?
It on the WGN Radio Theater.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah, post it.
All right, I'll
Come
post
on.
A picture.
All right, in this hour, it is Dimension X, a good sci-fi adventure brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming drama Molly's Game about a former Olympic hopeful who establishes an international poker game.
What do they win?
They will win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
And you're probably in it.
It's possible.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
That's Tom, that's how Lisa and I met years ago. I was producing the Twilight Zone radio dramas, and she auditioned for a part. Did you ever get that first one?
I don't know.
I think so.
I got something or another.
She was in some of the
Twilight
Zones.
Here I am, so there you go.
And then
did something right.
She was really good in that, and I was like, you know what?
I got lost on the way, but once I got there, I was okay.
She calls me on my phone. I'm waiting for her to come to the audition, and
I was early.
She's laughing, cracking up. I'm lost. I don't know where
I'm losing my mind.
I don't know where I am.
I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
You know, he was in some weird...
I was in industrial.
Yeah, but they were just building after building. There were no numbers.
It's called a navigation system. Do you have one?
This was like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. That's
they
true.
Existed they had in 2007.
Yeah, some of us can't afford the, you know, the finer
fair.
Things of
life.
And
you're not someone who can't afford it.
Some people can't afford the finer things of life.
So she's cracking up on the phone to me. I can't find it.
It wasn't that funny.
So then she shows up, and I was like, yeah, I like this lady. She's
this
great.
Lady.
Yeah.
I'm no lady.
I like this lady. She's great. And that's how
we did
it all,
have a long
that's
talk.
How it all began.
Oh boy!
All right, so where were we?
I don't know.
Okay. So you can win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Yes.
The number to call 312-981-7200. Here's a hint: this guy was the star of Field of Dreams.
I'm Ray. My wife Annie. This is my daughter Karen.
All right, there you go. You know who that is? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. There's a new team coming to town. The WGN TV Evening News team at 4. Join Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Demetrius Ivory, and Jarrett Payton. Weekdays at 4 starting Tuesday on WGN TV. When Lisa laughs, it messes me all up.
I'm laughing at you, not with you. Okay, we're back.
She's.
Did you get that all out? It's a lot of words there for you.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I made you nervous, I think.
I think so.
Okay, so we're back, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
I'm Ray. My wife, Annie. This is my daughter, Karen.
That's a great movie. Mm. You don't like that?
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah,
it's a little, you know, kind of. Eh.
All right. We've got Tim on the line. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys.
Do you like movie?
I do. I Tin Cup is my a better choice, but yeah.
Yeah.
But
I like Tim Cup. Tin Cup more,
Tim,
yeah.
Tim Cup?
Tin
we'll call
Cup.
It Tim Cup.
Tin Cup.
Tim, who yeah, is Tin that Cup, actor?
That would be Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner is right, and we hope that you would enjoy a Twilight Zone CD set. It's got 4 CDs in it, and it's produced by Mr. Carl Amari, whoever that might be, and it stars Stacy Keach.
Yeah, Tim, you know, it feels it's a little mushy, don't you think? It's like a little, it's kind of a little soft, a little mushy, right?
Mushy?
I mean, it's a little mushy. Field of Dreams.
You know, you got to open your imagination a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's a great movie, but
it is.
My wife doesn't like it because she's not a baseball fan. So
yeah.
You know what? I'm not a baseball fan, but I actually like the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a football fan. But
I like Kevin Costner. I think
but I like
great.
Blindside because that's a great movie. Doesn't
oh,
it?
Gosh.
That's
Blindside.
A great. You're
no.
saying it's good or
God,
not?
No.
I love that movie.
It's just so sappy.
What?
Yeah.
Did you see that one, Tim? Did you see Blindside?
Kind of sappy.
With Sandra Bullock?
Tim? Did we lose Tim?
Tim.
No, I'm here.
Oh, all right.
Oh, did you see
Blindside?
What did
you think of Blindside?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, see, yeah. It's good.
You're putting him on the spot. Don't put Tim on the spot.
No, I guess other than Waterworld, I guess. No, I
Waterworld.
Wally World.
Waterworld.
All right, well, thank you so much for
you're
calling
a winner,
in,
buddy. Enjoy the Twilight Zone.
Thanks
I was going to
hey, he's my listener too. I could talk to him too.
You can't stop talking.
Gosh, she doesn't
you
even want me.
Not
Tim,
stop
she doesn't
for
even
a moment.
Want me to talk to you.
His name is Tom.
It's Tim.
Oh, you're talking to Tim. I thought you were talking
it's
to
talking
Tom.
Talking to Tim. Talking to Tim.
Wait, but who's on first?
Exactly.
Tim, enjoy those Twilight Zone CDs.
Tim, enjoy those Twilight Zone CDs.
All right, Lisa Wolf.
All right, Carl
Wolf.
Who are you making fun of? Not me, certainly.
All right. You want to listen to a good adult sci-fi? I get a little
if
slap happy.
If it'll get you to stop talking.
It's 1:15, and I've been up since yesterday, so I
right.
get a little slap happy around
all
this
right.
time.
All right, blame it on that.
You know, I goof up the names sometimes. Not as bad as badly.
Carl, the Blind Side is not sappy.
It's
That's
sappy.
What Keith said.
I didn't mess up those names as badly as I used to mess up...
You mess it up a little bit,
what
just
was
so you
name?
Know. Steve Roxton.
No, poor guy.
You did mess it up just a tad.
All right.
Okay.
Dimension X we have for you. Now, this was radio's premier series of adult science fiction. It came to radio in 1950, and it was broadcast on NBC. It was science fiction. You know, prior to Dimension X had been really for juvenile audiences like Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, those kinds of shows. Occasionally there was a sci-fi story on suspense or escape. But around this time in 1950, there were popular science fiction movies coming out like Destination Moon. And so NBC said, you know, maybe an adult science fiction series would work. And they came up with this series called Dimension X, and they hired great writers like Ray Bradbury and Isaac Asimov, Frederick Brown, Robert Heinlein. And these guys wrote stories for Dimension X. And the two main writers were George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy. And then they hired Norman Rose, who would later be the voice of Juan Valdez, the fictional coffee grower in the Colombian TV commercials. You know, those
I remember Juan Valdez. Of course.
That's who Norman Rose plays that voice. You'll hear him. So he was the host. All right, let's tune this in. Let's go back to July 21st, 1950. For Beyond Infinity, here's Norman Rose as host on Dimension X.
Wheaties presents Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Now, tonight's adventure into the unknown, into the world of Dimension X. Somewhere in Europe, a man is walking through the darkness down a cobblestone street. It's early evening still, only a little past eight, but the street is strangely deserted. He pauses, looks behind him, then knocks quietly on a door.
Yes?
Is Engineer Wensler in?
What is it, please?
Mrs. Wensler?
Yes.
I'm selling brushes. We have a nice line of brooms. They sweep well.
Do they sweep the little or the large?
Both. They're especially fine for the large.
Come in. What cell are you in?
I'm not with the underground. I'm an American, newspaper correspondent. It's all right. Chief Nine said I should see your husband. He gave me the password. Look, you know the Americans are on your side.
Well, I don't know. My husband is not home at the moment. If I...
Eva, who is it?
Someone to see Alan, Father.
Oh.
My father-in-law knows nothing. Don't say anything which might disturb him.
Okay.
You wish to see my son, Mr...
Arnold. Yes, a friend asked me to look him up.
Mr. Arnold is an American correspondent, Father.
Oh, an American. It is not often I have had the chance to talk to an American these days.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yes, these last few years, we have been out of touch with the world. I was working in my laboratory, Mr. Arnold. Would you care to come in while you wait for my son?
Father... Not the laboratory.
Oh, Eva, we cannot ask our guest to sit alone in the library. And besides, I would like to talk. Huh? This way, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Arnold, I know nothing of politics. My only interest is science. Come, I will show you what we are doing. A most interesting experiment. Really, very interesting.
Dr. Winsler.
Oh, this is Dr. Erickson, my associate. Dr. Erickson, Mr. Arnold.
An American.
Yes.
Dr. Winsler, is it advisable to allow strangers in the laboratory?
Oh, Mr. Arnold, it's my son's friend.
Dr. Winsler, you will recall that the last directive...
It has no bearing on the work we are doing. Our experiment is in the field of pure science. It has no military application.
But the directive said...
Dr. Erickson, may I remind you that I am still in charge of this laboratory.
Very well. If you will excuse me, I want to test a new diatomic catalyst.
I will do that.
Sorry, Dr. Winsler. I'm afraid your friend Erickson doesn't like my looks.
Oh, no, no. It's not that. It's just that he's worried. He's worried for me. Afraid that someone will misinterpret your visit and report me to the authorities. He's my most loyal and trusted assistant. But he tends to exaggerate the danger.
Well, I hope you're right, Doctor. Say, this is some setup you've got here. That 10-foot plastic cylinder, what's that for?
Every experiment must have a focal point, and that transparent cylinder is ours.
Mm-hmm.
The objects upon which we wish to work are placed inside and brought under the catalyzed beam over here.
Eva!
Yes, Alan, now. Excuse me, I go and tell him.
What is this experiment you're working on, Dr. Winston?
Ah, very interesting new problem. You say you are not a physicist or engineer, Mr. Arnold?
No, I'm not, but I can follow you, if that's what you mean.
Yes. Well, we have been working with the problem of subatomic particles. Now, in attempting to manipulate them, to bring them closer to each other, we have discovered that we can shrink objects, reduce them in size.
Well, that's very interesting. Uh-huh. How much can you reduce them? Half size?
Oh, much more. We can make objects become microscopic and still retain their characteristics.
Doesn't seem possible.
We can make them even smaller. Much smaller. Theoretically, in fact, down to atomic dimensions.
Well, as I said before, I'm no expert, Dr. Winston, but tell me, what's the point? What good does it do to shrink anything down to that size?
You do not understand. Man has never actually seen an atom. But if we can reduce a camera and recording instruments to the atom size, then we would know the secrets of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there you are, Mr. Arnold.
Hello, Alan.
You can't be interested in this. Why don't we go into the study and talk?
But Mr. Arnold is interested.
Well, sir, maybe I'd better talk to Alan at that.
Excuse me, Dr. Winslow.
Yes?
I mean to ask you if you think you can get along without me for a few minutes. There's something I must do. It's important.
Yes. As long as it will not take too much time.
No, it won't take me long. It has been a pleasure, Mr. Arnold. I shall see you soon, I hope.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Alan, let's go talk.
Your credentials seem to be in order, Mr. Arnold. I talked to our chief after Ava explained why you were here. I don't agree with him.
Alan, you think the chief of your cell would have let me come here if he didn't think I was trustworthy and could help?
What do you think, Ava?
Chief Nine said he was to be given the fullest cooperation.
Very well, then. What do you want to know?
Question one. What makes you think this revolution really has a chance? You can't fight tanks and guns with just your bare hands.
Mr. Arnold, we believe the Winslow machine can solve our biggest problem.
What's that?
How to collect arms without being attacked by the secret police.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Now, suppose we could reduce all our equipment, electronic guns, ray gas, anti-tank blaster, anything which could be brought in unassembled, reduce it to so small a size that a woman's handbag could hold enough to equip a regiment. You see what that would mean?
Yeah, sure. No one would think of looking for a cannon in...
Precisely. But Father's machine and the cylinder were necessary for the reduction. That's why our supply depot is right here.
Here?
Yes. When the day arrives, we'll enlarge the arms and pass them out.
Yes, but where's the stuff now?
Ava.
Yeah.
Please get me that model from the mantle.
Of course. Here you are.
Take a look at this, Mr. Arnold.
Well, that's a model of an anti-tank blaster, complete to every detail.
Not a model, Mr. Arnold. This is an anti-tank gun. Reduced in the cylinder by the Winslow process. At the proper time, we shall enlarge it, wheel it out through the garage, and set it up. When the men assemble, we pass out the rest of the arms, and we have our revolution. A division of men, properly armed, can take the...
Let's get back to the laboratory. Father will think it odd that we have been gone so long.
Oh, I was wondering where you were, Alan. I don't know what's keeping Erickson. He should have been back long ago. I need some help on the circuit
here. Of course, Father. What are you doing?
Erickson, I have amplified the effect by putting another diatomic catalyzer into phase. I want to give a test run, Alan, if you will bring one of the animals from the cage.
Yes, Father. Animals?
Yes, we are experimenting over the reduction of living animals, guinea pigs.
How does it work?
Those we diminish to microscopic size return unharmed. But those sent down to the atomic dimension, the cylinder returns. But there's nothing inside, nothing.
So, Dr. Winslow, have you ever tried it on a human being?
I tried to persuade Father to send me down to find out what's making the animals vanish.
No, Alan.
But, Father, we've installed high-frequency radio communication now. If anything started to go wrong with me, I could tell you in time to reverse the process.
No, I will never permit it.
All right. Guinea pigs it is, then. But someday,
Alan.
Father, I... Yes, dear?
Come to the window.
What is it?
That man, the one in the raincoat. He has been standing in that doorway across the street ever since I looked out the window.
What of it?
I don't like it, Alan. He has been standing there just looking at our house.
Oh?
Alan, do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Eva.
Yes?
You know what we've planned in this eventuality.
Yes.
Get the arms and the provisions. We can't afford to take a chance.
All right, Alan.
You know, what is it, my son? What is...
Father, it's better for you not to know too much, but I'm a member of the underground.
No.
Eva, too. We have... No. Well, we have some contraband hidden in the house. We'll have to put it in the cylinder.
Contraband? What do you mean?
Arms, Father. Arms and provisions for an army reduced to 1/40 its size.
Alan.
Yes, we must put them in the cylinder and warm up the machine. If it is the secret police, we'll make the arms invisible, microscopic in size.
Can I help?
If you wish, Mr. Arnold, you can help my wife get the supplies.
Okay.
Alan.
What is it, Eva?
Two police cars are just on the corner. They're full of men.
That changes matters. Father, you'll have to operate the machine yourself. Eva and I are getting into the cylinder.
No, Alan, you can't. It's too dangerous.
It's the only way, Father. Those are the secret police.
All right, let's take a break from this adult science fiction episode of Dimension X called Beyond Infinity. We'll get back to it after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa Wolf and Tom Hush. It's time for the conclusion now to Dimension X.
Atomic catalyzer ready?
Ready. Set at 0.034.
Good. All right, Eva, get in the cylinder.
Alan, I can't let you take the chance, Alan. Isn't it enough to make the supplies disappear?
Not for the secret police. They must know something, otherwise they wouldn't be here.
But how could they prove anything?
No, Father, every man has his breaking point. And I can't afford to gamble with the lives of others. I don't know how I'd react on the torture.
Torture?
Oh, Father, you are naive. But don't worry, you'll be safe. Everyone knows you aren't interested in politics. Mr. Arnold is an American. Perhaps that will protect him.
They're coming now.
Oh, my son, what have you done?
There's no time for recriminations now, Father. I'm getting in with Eva. Arnold, will you help my father with the machine and after?
Yes, I'll do whatever I can.
Thank you. Now, take us down to sub-microscopic size.
Yes.
Hold us down until the police have gone. Tell them we've left. They won't dare meddle with the machine. Tell them it will mean death to anyone who gets in the way of the beam. When they're gone, bring us back up. I'll maintain radio silence until I hear from you.
Very well, my son.
There they are. The machine's warmed up. Move over, Eva. I'm coming in.
Let me...
I've switched on the radio. If you can hear me, secure the porthole, Arnold.
Okay, we hear you. Porthole secure.
Ready, Father?
Yes. Are the oxygen and tanks all right?
Eva? Yes.
They're breaking down the door.
Atomic setting 034. Preliminary release. Temperature?
27 degrees centigrade. 760 millimeters pressure. Hurry, Father.
Very well. Now. Break on.
Alpha 4, beta 16, gamma 0.12, temperature 30 centigrade, pressure 1100.
Be careful.
Holy mackerel, the cylinder's only 3 feet high.
Open that door.
Temperature 36, pressure 1800.
It's getting too high. I can't do it. Stand by to reverse.
No. The temperature and pressure show signs of stabilizing. Now 38 and 2000. Make setting at angstrom 5, 10 times to the third.
That's a small.
We can't afford to take chances.
Only 3 inches high.
But it's all right, Father. Temperature and pressure beginning to drop.
Thank God.
A half inch high.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming.
Goodbye, Father. God bless you.
Son.
If anything happens, it isn't your fault. Remember, this is my doing. Eva, switch off.
Yes, sir.
Leave those men.
Yes, come on.
Stop. Don't come near the beam. No, this machine is in operation and can kill anyone coming within range.
Shut off that machine.
The machine cannot be shut off until it reaches nadir. A sudden reversal would cause an explosion and take us all with it.
You're there. Who are you?
Who, me? Just a friend of the family.
Arrest him.
Now, you get your hands off me. Let go of me.
Now, Dr. Wensler, your son and his wife, where are they? Answer me, you old fool.
They left a few minutes before you came.
Left? Jan, I told you to watch all the exits.
We did, Commander. Mouse could not have escaped. I swear it by the leader.
They are not here. You. What do you know of this?
I told you they left some time ago.
Keep an eye on them. And keep away from that machine. Jan.
Yes, sir.
Send out a general alarm.
Yes, Commander.
Dr. Wensler. Yes. Who are your son's friends?
Please. Commander, let me finish my experiment. I know nothing about my son's activities or his friends. I swear it. I know nothing about politics.
So?
I must stay here until this experiment is finished. It is too dangerous to be left unattended.
Very well. I'll take the American to headquarters. The rest of you, search the house.
Look here, I'm an American citizen. I demand...
Erickson!
Yes, my dear Wensler. Have you found them, Commander?
Erickson, you have betrayed me.
I am a member of the League of Loyal Scientists. Your son is the traitor, not I. Have you found him, Commander?
No.
We have searched the house. Nothing. They swear the son and his wife escaped before we arrived.
That is ridiculous. They were here when I left. People do not vanish into thin air.
Then where are they?
Right under your nose, Commander.
What?
They're in the cylinder, of course, under the beam there. That is the only place they could be. Allow me to handle the controls. You shall have your prisoners in 5 minutes.
I see. Very clever, Dr. Wensler. Very clever. All right, Erickson. You take charge of the machine.
You spy, you traitor.
Don't let him touch that dial. Oh, grab him.
You won't. There.
He has set it for subatomic dimension.
What does that mean?
Whatever is in that cylinder has become as small as the atom.
Then shut it off!
It has almost reached nadir. We must wait 10 seconds, then reverse polarities. The machine has reached nadir. Angstrom 10 to the minus 11. We must now wait 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What's the matter, Alan?
I don't know. Something must have gone wrong.
Alan, look up there.
Why, it's the solar system.
It's coming at us so fast. Look, the sun!
The sun? No, that can't be. Eva! That's the nucleus of an atom. We've reached the subatomic dimension. That sun is the nucleus. And those planets are the electrons revolving about it.
That planet coming up at us, there on the other side of the sun, I mean the nucleus, is...
An electron. It's growing in size. We're heading straight for it.
We're coming down on it. You're going to land.
Well, I guess we finally reached the nadir. We haven't shrunk for the past 2 or 3 hours.
Where are we?
I don't know. Somewhere in a valley between the mountains of a huge electronic ring.
It's almost funny. Resting on the surface of an electron.
Look. The soil under the floor of the cylinder.
It looks like vegetation.
Yes. Moss. Lichen. That's the last of the air. I've been expecting it to go out for the past 2 days. We have perhaps a half hour more. Eva, dearest.
I know.
There is one chance. That vegetation. That means there must be some sort of atmosphere on this electronic planet. We have to take that chance. Eva, are you willing to step out of the cylinder with me?
Of course, my dearest. For whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will.
We haven't much time. Ready?
Betty. All right. Open the port to it.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. All right, 10 seconds. I shall now reverse polarity. I see something.
The cylinder?
Yes, there it is. Just a few seconds more and it will become normal size.
A foot high.
Keep that man quiet. It rolls very rapidly. Yes, 8 feet high. Four. Now, there you are, Commander. And in a moment, you will see your prisoners.
Get the door open.
Yes, sir. There is no door, my Commander.
No door? Erickson.
But there must be.
No, sir. Nothing but a gas valve.
You are right. Nothing but violet gas.
That's impossible.
Where are your son and his wife?
We told you they left the house some time ago.
That is a lie. Where are they?
I do not know.
Erickson, open that valve.
But the gas may be poisonous.
We shall see. Open the valve. Very slightly. What is that?
I don't know.
I seem to hear music inside my head. So did I. Apparently the gas produces auditory hallucinations.
Open the valve again. Careful.
We, the people of peace, greet the great scientist, the omnipotent, the maker of all.
I thought I heard a voice.
This is the law of our people, laid down by our first father 10 million years ago. That always and ever there be this record of our race. For it is told that thou, in the fruitfulness of time, shall take back unto thee this ark, like unto that cylinder in which the first father and mother of us all came unto us.
I don't understand.
I am the last of our race, and the sun is cold and desolation is upon the face of our planet. But in our time there was majesty and joy, and the gleaning of the fruits of the soil, for we have been the people of peace. And life was bountiful for generations until that day came when in thy everlasting wisdom thou didst decree the end of all. Though there were some who wept, we did not query why. For we have been a happy race. We have followed the law of the first father, Alan, and of the great mother, Eva.
No.
And we have builded this ark so that there may be report of our deeds and of the fulfillment of the trust. Now I, Lamarian, the last of the billions who lived here, do lie me down into that blessed sleep, from which, if thou will, I shall awake unto the land which is thine. Hail, O great one, from the descendants of Alan and Eva, hail and farewell.
Good Lord, what was that?
In the neighbor, Dr. Wensler, where are they?
They are beyond your reach.
What do you mean?
Don't you understand? All time is relative. 1 year of our time is one revolution of the planet Earth about the sun. Somewhere down in the microcosmos, my son and his wife found themselves in an atomic universe.
Of course.
And landed upon an electronic planet. That planet whirled around its sun, the nucleus of an atom, 1 million times in the space of a second. Our second.
Dr. Wensler, what are you trying to say?
That voice we heard is the voice of a human being, the last member of a race whose blood is mine. For in the space of 10 seconds of our time, Alan and Eva settled upon their microcosmic planet and bore sons and daughters and the great and peaceful race that lived and died beyond infinity. And my children, Alan and Ava, who founded that race, are dead and gone. 10 million years ago. 10 seconds ago.
Tonight, Dimensionex has presented Beyond Infinity, an original radio drama written by Vierre Gerson. Featured in the cast were Les Damon as Arnold, Lotta Stavitsky as Ava, E.A. Krumschmidt as Dr. Wentzler, and Joe DeSantis as Alan Wentzler. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King.
Next week, a strange story of other worlds. The story of the barbaric Potters of Perth. Another adventure into the unknown world of tomorrow. The world of...
Dimension X.
I wish this Norman Rose guy was around right now. I'd have him make me a cup of coffee. He was Juan Valdez.
Is he the only one that can make the coffee?
Well, they don't... There's no coffee here today. There's no...
There's usually coffee, but not today.
Because I got to drive all the way home. It's like an hour or something drive.
I'll drop you off.
Yeah, you're the opposite way.
That's okay. I would do it for you.
Dimension... Thank you. I appreciate that. Dimension X, July 21st, 1950, Beyond Infinity. Norman Rose, who was Juan Valdez, is the host of that. Also in the cast, Les Damon. For a while, he played the Falcon on radio. And then Leon Janney. And, yeah, good cast, good show. Hope you enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, that's kind of a wrap. You know what?
What, Carl?
Next week, when we come back here, we have more classic radio shows.
Is that right?
Six more shows. You want to tell our listeners
I'll
what
tell
shows?
Them what I chose.
All right.
What did you Next choose? Saturday, we have Suspense.
Right.
The Adventures of
Ozzie
and Harriet.
Is it like that? Suspense?
No, it's Suspense.
Okay.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. And I was a communist for the FBI.
You were? You were a communist for the FBI?
Yeah. Beware.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Beware. On Sunday
that
night.
That could get you deported.
Oh, yeah. Anything could. On Sunday night, it's Gunsmoke, The Halls of Ivy, and Casey, Crime Photographer.
Very good. Some
Thanks.
Good stuff there. Nice
good
job.
Good variety.
Lisa.
Definitely.
That is some good radio programming there. Don't forget, folks, sign up for our free radio classics because you'll get your first email today. If you didn't hear what I was talking about a little earlier, we have a website. Just go to it. It's freeradioclassics.com. So you log on, www.freeradioclassics.com, and then you put your name and your email, and then you will get an email from me every single Monday, 52 emails a year. And in that email is a classic radio show. Every week you'll get a different classic radio show.
That's so a lot of emails from Carl. It's
a
lot of Carl.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of Carl. But you know what? It's got a classic radio show along
That's
with it.
That's the good part.
Yeah, that works out good.